In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I'd like to ask you to do me a favor this morning and take out this gospel lesson on the insert that was in your order of worship. I'd like you just to scan it for a second. This is a huge story in the gospel. It's one that we could do an entire Lenten series on, just this story itself. I know it's one you're familiar with. It's so many different facets and angles to help us understand how God works in the world. But I'd like to ask you to do me another favor, and that is to fold it, and then to fold it, and to put it in your pocket, or put it in your purse. I want you to take it home with you, because I need you to promise me something. Today, I want you to promise that this afternoon or this evening, you will take it out again, and you will look at it, and you will think about it a little bit more. Can I get that promise? A nod of the head would be helpful. Good, because I want to talk about something else. I really do. I've been trying for weeks now to find a gospel lesson that would help me talk about something I want to talk to you about. It's been on my mind for months, years, really. It's sort of just sort of some of the trends that are going on in the church in America that I think are important and I think are worth noting, but I haven't been able to find a way to build them into a sermon, at least not with a gospel lesson. We have a very rigid tradition at St. Paul's that I insist on as the rector, that we preach the gospel. That's what this piece of furniture is for. So I hope I'm not straying from that premise much, because I think what I want to talk to you about is about the gospel. It's about how the gospel is shared and taught in a way that draws people into meaningful relationships with God. Heard a sermon about a month ago by my brother-in-law, Jim Somerville, up in Richmond, Virginia, and it really got me thinking about it. And he cited a study by the Reverend Dr. Bill Wilson, who's the founder of the Center for Healthy Congregations. It's a consulting group that helps churches examine themselves and think about ways that they can grow and be vibrant and lively. And he published an article that was, he did a study with one congregation, but the results were so similar to the national trends that it was a great first-person narrative about what's going on across the church in America. And it was shockingly like St. Paul's Episcopal Church in Waco, Texas. And so I just thought it would be interesting to share it with you and let you make of it what you will. This guy went into a church that was concerned that their average Sunday attendance was hovering and beginning to decline a little bit. They were worrying. They were trying to figure out how to revive certain ministries that had been important in the past, but didn't seem to have the life in the present tense. So they did some research about the congregation, and they discovered some really good news. The congregation in 10 years had grown from 400 active members to 600 active members. That's a 50% growth. That's good news anywhere in any church. But what they also discovered is during that same time period, average attendance had remained flat and even declined a little bit. And they came to the conclusion that while there were more members in the congregation, those members were not attending church as often as they had in the past. And that mirrors the national trend. Obviously, there are individual congregations that are exceptions to this. But the trend is the churches are actually growing, that people are coming and joining churches, but the average active Christian self-reports that they go to church twice a month. 10 years ago, they self-reported they went to church three times a month. So you see how that works. You see how that math works, right? The membership increases, but the attendance remains the same or even declines. In the last decade, St. Paul's has added 200 members to our congregation. These are people that we know. We have not lost nearly that many. So our net is 200 more, but our average Sunday attendance has remained at or around 300. 310, 300. Last year was an exception because we all went on sabbatical last summer, apparently. But that's been our trend. It's actually been a trend at St. Paul's for about 40 years, that 330 to 300 right in there. Interesting. It's just an interesting observation. So then they wanted to know, what is it that's causing people to attend church less often? And so they did some research. They studied the congregation, asked them some questions, And they came up with these were the factors that impacted people's attendance to church. First one was youth sports leagues, competitions of all kinds that take place on weekends and on Sundays. And we all know this is true just because of our friends and our those of us who have children know it's true. The kids are competing in extra outside school club sports that make them travel on the weekends. We also really seem to like collegiate and professional athletic events. And we know that's true here. We certainly love our Baylor Bears, and we love the Longhorns, and we love the Aggies, and some of you guys even like the Cowboys for some reason, and you drive to Dallas to go watch that. Another is a proliferation of vacation homes and timeshares that are owned by active church members, and they just take a break, you know. You got the weekend, you go breathe, you go somewhere else, take a rest. Here, I think in Texas, you would need to add the word ranches to that list, right? This was interesting information, that 1 in 3 Americans now actually work on Sunday morning. It's a work day, which I was not aware it was that many. Another is a dramatic increase in holiday weekends, and holidays in quotes, that affect schools, right? So if you serve a church that has multiple school districts and they recognize different holiday weekends, it can impact your church in significant ways. One church discovered, they did a study, and they discovered that 27 weekends out of the year were affected by school holidays because they serve multiple school districts. Another is illness. As we live longer, we are prone to get sick, and some of us can't come to church as often as we might. And aging parents, kind of right along the lines with that, aging parents that as they grow older, they require extended families' increased involvement in their care. And in with our mobile society, often those parents are in different cities. And so the weekend is the time that you can jump in the car and go check on mom, check on dad, make sure everything is okay. And along with that is the ease of travel and the relative inexpensive nature of that. And another has a word that I'd never heard before, but I kind of like it, and I think intuitively you know exactly what it means. Excuse me. Lifestyle fatigue. Lifestyle fatigue. Isn't that a great word? And you know exactly what that is, don't you? We program ourselves to the max. I mean, we just move all the time. We're doing something all the time. And especially if you got 3 or 4 kids, they're doing different things all the time. And so you basically run a taxi service. And it's exhausting. And Sundays are often the only time, and sometimes only Sunday morning is the only time that they're not committed to something else that they have to go do. Over the last decade, I've run into dozens of you at HEB and had the same conversation. For some reason, you feel compelled to apologize to me that you weren't at church on Sunday. And like it was a personal attack. but you weren't there, and you go, but you know, it's just been a crazy week, and we're tired, and you know what we did? We just slept in, and I feel bad about it, but we slept in, and we made pancakes, and it was really kind of a sweet morning. And what you described to me sounds an awful lot like Sabbath. Sounds an awful lot like what we're actually called to do, which is to find some time to rest and to be together and to think about God. But it doesn't sound much like worship, and it doesn't sound much like Christian community. And so what you have is sort of competing good things, right? These are good. None of these things on this list are bad things. They're all good things, and they sort of vie for our time and our affection. And because of all of those things and the lifestyle fatigue, it results, and the last thing they noticed, was just a decline in commitment to regular attendance, to Bible studies, and to worship. And so that's just there. You know, I just wanted to put that out there and describe it for you. I think you know me well enough to know that I'm not railing at you. You may feel a little annoyed at me right now because I'm talking about church attendance to people who actually attended church today. So I recognize that, but this is not just about church attendance. This is just a reality of the culture that we live in, and I don't rail against the culture much either. It just is. And so it poses some interesting questions for us as a congregation, I think, and interesting questions for you as a believer, you know, as we struggle with setting our priorities and deciding what to do. I mean, as we as a congregation decide, how do we do the work that God has given us to do in this environment? I mean, we will continue to offer beautiful liturgy on Sunday morning that we hope is powerful and meaningful to you so you can come and you can pray and worship. That's going nowhere. But it may mean that we're also invited to think about another set of metrics by which we evaluate how well we're doing our work and by which we evaluate the kind of work we're called to do. And that maybe it needs to think about different places, different times, different days of the week, different size groups, different kinds of ministry. So I'd invite you just to think about this yourself as a member of the parish. Talk about it in the groups that you are in. Whatever group you're in, a study group or a book club or anything that's connected to this parish in any way, if you're in the choir or a Sunday school class, think about it. Think about what we might do to address the task at hand. Because this is the cultural reality that we live in. But our task remains the same. The church has always been called to preach Jesus, to proclaim Christ crucified and raised from the dead, to proclaim the good news of Jesus wherever it might be. And that is our job, now and always. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.